This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And we've got Chapter 16 of Vatican Ambassador on the way on this episode. I took a week off last week. This time it was my birthday. So with Thanksgiving and all and my birthday, I decided to celebrate and give myself a break and took the week off. I hope you didn't mind. But I'm back with a full chapter this week, and we have Chapter 17 on the way the next couple of weeks, because we're going to have to divide that one up. But this one is self-contained, although a little bit long. Chapter 16. Now, BC has gone from Vatican Assassin to Vatican Ambassador to the effing Pope. And as BC settles into his new position, he heads to New York City to meet with Richard Wentworth and the other CEOs who sit on the UTZ Council, the Universal Trade Zone Council. Basically, the people who rule Earth, Earth orbit, the moon. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. They no doubt have some questions for their new pope. So we're going to make the trip with BC coming up as we get into Chapter 16 of Vatican Ambassador on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. I've got a new giveaway for you for this month of December, your chance to get a free PDF comic book. My December PDF comic book giveaway, going through the site Drive-Thru Comics once again. You can get The Adventures of Alibi Jones number 3, which features the self-contained story Alibi Jones' Christmas Present, which also features part of the story with BC back in BC's time. So Alibi Jones accidentally travels back through time and meets his father, BC. Now, the stuff that happens in the present day, the art for the present day, Alibi Jones's present day, is by Casey Bouchard. And then the art for when he goes back in time for BC and BC's time, that art is done by the guys who did the art for the Vatican Assassin graphic novel, which was awesome that they came back to do that. So it's Christian Navarro on the inks and the pencils, and Juan Carlos Quatordio doing the finishing and the colors. So it's a beautiful package. I'm very proud of the way it came out. Came out a couple years ago now, and I'm going to give you the chance to have it for free again as a free comic book giveaway, a PDF comic. And all you need to do is follow the link in the show notes to get yourself a free copy through the folks at drivethroughcomics.com. Again, it features both Alibi Jones and BC in the story Alibi Jones' Christmas Present. And it's my gift to you, see, during this month of December. If you're looking for gifts, I want to remind you that independently published fiction and science fiction and nonfiction make for wonderful gifts, especially mine. I'd love to see you give some of my books as gifts this holiday season if you are so inspired. And of course, I have a new 2024 Ancient Stone Mysteries of New England calendar, which you can give as a gift as well. Just go to ancientstonemysteries.com to get more details on the calendar. But again, you know, all my books are available everywhere online. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, bookshop.org. Lots of places you can get my paperbacks, even Walmart. So your chance to give independently published and written science fiction and nonfiction to the folks you love. I'm just putting in a plug. You can find out more too about my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and michaeluoma.com. And again, more about the 2024 calendar at ancientstonemysteries.com. I want to say a big thank you to my patrons who help keep things going. They help keep the gas in the tank as the podcast rolls along. Chug, 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 chug. Yep, so thank you, patrons. If you want to find out more about becoming a patron, you can just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to my sites and look for the link to Patreon. That's how I do the patron thing. But again, my big thanks to those of you who are patrons because you help me do all this and keep it going. Well, I feel like I've been talking a ton, so we're getting into Chapter 16 next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, part one of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Now here's Chapter 16 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
When you're the Pope, people do things for you, such as arranging for transit to New York City for the next afternoon, for you and your entourage. For when you're the Pope, you're no longer supposed to travel alone. BC sets out for New York City with an entourage of about 15. I don't think I've ever had an entourage before. Although BC is traveling in a crowd, when he arrives in New York City, he finds the lack of crowds around them disturbing. He watches from the window of the transport as they travel from the airport to their midtown hotel. The entire city is strangely subdued, quiet. Those still alive are busy burying the dead or hiding out in isolation and quarantine. BC and his staff have booked a floor of rooms at a hotel close to Wentworth's building. BC tries to relax. Others have attended to all the details. All he has to do is go along for the ride. When they arrive at the hotel, BC only has to worry about walking from the transport to the elevator. There are staff people to check him in, to take care of his bags and luggage and such.
I don't even have to press the elevator buttons. I'm not sure I like this. Parts of this, sure. But I still feel like I'm fooling everyone. And myself. Pretending to be Pope.
BC is guided to his private suite and left alone to freshen up. His itinerary is tight. There's no real downtime. BC only has the time to shower and get dressed before he has to head downstairs into a waiting transport and off to Wentworth's building and offices. Wentworth's office building is just another nondescript skyscraper thrusting up off the Manhattan streets and into the sky. BC doesn't have much time to take it in as he's whisked from the transport to inside the building. He's escorted to a conference room. The conference room is similar to the one BC once saw on board Wentworth's station. An arcing table, a hollow semicircle with seating along its outer edge, dominates the large open room. The design allows everyone seated to see each other as they discuss running the world. There are signs of fresh construction. The entire table is sealed away from BC and his side of the room by an arcing floor-to-ceiling wall-to-wall sheet of plexiglass, recently installed by the look of it. 6 men and women sit unevenly spaced around the table's arc. Wentworth is sitting just about dead center, directly in front of BC as he walks up to the glass. BC raps on the glass with a loud tack-tack. The six CEOs all jump, startled. Richard, are you scared? BC says, indicating the glass.
What the?
Wentworth is caught off guard at first by BC's directness.
Ah, Campion.
Just checking. Nice glass, BC cracks.
Precautions, Wentworth explains. We've all been in orbit or otherwise isolated from the disease. You and most people on Earth and the moon at this point have been exposed, so we're taking some precautions.
Wentworth motions to the wall behind BC.
Why don't you pull up a table and chair?
BC turns to see a table and several chairs behind him, lined up along the wall next to the door.
Gotta do everything myself? Fine.
BC drags a table over to the glass, and then pulls up a chair.
Well now, this is cozy.
We're still waiting on a few people, Wentworth says.
Fine, BC answers. BC looks around the table. The CEOs don't look up or back at him. Each is busy, on a comm, or talking to staff, or studying the tabletop intently. There are three empty seats. BC notes a flurry of activity back behind the glass and sees the other three council members arrive. Once they are seated, an unspoken word passes between the council members. They all turn to Wentworth and then to BC. The room is quiet for a moment. Wentworth breaks the silence. He addresses the rest of the CEOs of the UTZ Council.
Pope Peter IV has asked us to convene the council today to speak with us about this disease, this plague that is decimating the human population of Earth and the moon. Your holiness?
Wentworth deliberately slips to slight BC.
Why, thank you, Richard,
BC says over-effusively. And thank you to all of you for meeting with me here today on such short notice. BC looks around the circle at the mostly passive, disinterested faces. Some are clearly not paying attention, speaking with staff or sitting with their eyes shut.
At least Wentworth looks interested, concerned. Maybe it's a business leader thing? Well, I'm the fucking Pope now, so give me your full and undivided attention.
Ahem! BC deliberately clears his throat. The board begins to turn to him, one by one.
Thank you.
When they are all apparently listening, BC continues. I hope I don't need to tell you that we face an unprecedented crisis right now. I don't, do I? The council members, some visibly indignant, shake their heads, no. I have some news, some information on this plague. You know this sickness is extraterrestrial. I have it on good authority that this plague is actually alien in nature and in origin, BC says. He lets it sink in for a second. It didn't originate on Earth or the moon or on Mars. BC hears murmuring behind the glass. It was not created by humans. It comes from outside of our solar system, BC continues. And we have got to fight it with everything we have. A woman on BC's left speaks up.
Our scientists are trying, the woman BC doesn't know stresses. Every time they think they've got a cure, they don't. It's impossible.
They're doing what they can.
Another CEO, an older man BC hasn't seen before, insists. It's not enough, BC says, obviously.
It's not enough, Wentworth agrees. Some live, some die, and we don't know why. It's not enough. Thing of it is, the structure of the microbe is more complex than anything we've ever seen before. Your alien theory may make sense, as crazy as it sounds. We weren't sure if it was made or occurred naturally, Wentworth says.
The scientist said if it was natural, it was perfect, but also insisted that then there was no way it could be from here. If manufactured, it was perfect, and we couldn't even come close to making a plague that advanced ourselves.
Yet, Wentworth says, clearing his throat,
they are quite frustrated by this plague.
Do you have any leads on a cure? BC asks them.
No, not really, Wentworth says.
No, I guess not, the older man says.
Not anything practical, the other woman says.
Now, says another CEO, BC looks around the semicircle. I'm here today to tell you that you've not drawn upon all the resources at your disposal. He watches to see if he's surprised them. Murmurs. There is quiet discussion among the council as they try to figure out what BC is referring to. Which of you has jurisdiction over the old Transpace project? BC asks them. Do they answer to any of you? More murmuring. No one speaks up. BC looks at each of them in turn, his eyes making their way around the semicircle. Isn't that interesting, BC observes. None of you even know what I'm talking about, do you? BC challenges them. What does that say about the UTZ Council? You've grown so comfortable in your positions of prestige and power that you've managed to lose an entire company. How many others have slipped away? BC wonders aloud. How many projects have you simply lost track of? I wonder. He pauses. It's not under any of you right now, am I right? No one answers BC, so he continues. I didn't think so. Well, let me tell you. You've got a fully functioning project, the old Transbase project, employing a couple thousand bright minds out there. They're dealing with aliens, other worlds. They tell me that some of these aliens may be the source of this plague. These aliens are more advanced than us. They're called the Eldred, and they may be responsible for spreading the plague at the peace conference. Murmurs again behind the glass. The project has committed all their scientists and labs to finding a cure. BC looks from CEO to CEO. We need to combine their efforts with your scientists' efforts to attack this plague.
Where is this Transpace project now? The moon?
Wentworth asks BC. BC laughs. Well, here's an idea. Before I tell you too much more, I have a proposition for you. The council begins another round of murmuring.
Proposition?
The man's
out of his mind.
What does a Transpace project about a plague?
Isn't that dead?
BC continues anyway. Here's my proposition. Turn the Transpace project over to me. Make me its CEO. Give me an honorary seat on the council, whatever. That way, the balance of power between each of you stays the same. None of you gain any advantage over the others, and I gain a voice among you, BC explains. Plus, we double the brain power trying to defeat the plague, combining the efforts of your UTZ scientists and my Transbase Project scientists. BC smiles. It's win, win, and win.
The Pope can't be on the board,
one of the CEOs says. Let's cut through the pretense and lies, BC says with authority. The NCC and the UTZ are allies. We've worked together for years. When Peter II was Pope, he practically ran this board. He was like a senior member, BC points out. Let's not dance around the facts when there are so many lives at stake. If you give me control of the Transbase project, I promise you, we can make some major breakthroughs. Anything less would be foolishness. The murmuring picks up in earnest as the council discusses his proposition and request. A fat old CEO BC doesn't know clears his throat and addresses the board with a nasty rasp.
What does he know?
He asks the rest of the group.
What's this about aliens? Why would aliens want to kill us with a plague? It's preposterous. He must know more than we do. He knows something we don't.
Yes, Sir Charles, he certainly does, Wentworth says overdramatically, patronizing the old man. Thank you for joining us today. Wentworth says in a, oh, just waking up, are we, tone. Sir Charles lets out a, prompt. BC decides to chime in. Look, this is what I know, BC begins. I know we need to cure this disease that's killing us. I know where it may have come from. I think I know how we might be able to stop it, or at least how to better combine our efforts to that end. That's what I know. The board's indecision and confusion is nearly palpable.
There's a weird, crazy energy in the air.
The murmurs come to an end. Fear hangs in the air.
You are paralyzed, Wentworth admonishes the rest of the board. At least Pope Peter, he clears his throat, at least he's offering us something. Let's give him what he wants. At best, he may have something to offer. At worst, he wastes our time.
We may have little time left, a woman CEO says. Why let him waste any of it?
Do you have another opinion that you've somehow been saving until now? Wentworth asks her. Because, as far as I can tell, the Pope here has the only new option on the table.
Enough with the name thing, Wentworth, I get it.
Let's give him control of this project that he thinks is somehow worth something more than its 50-year-old labs on the moon. Why not? It does maintain the balance between us, after all. I propose we give Pope Peter IV control of the Transpace project.
Do I have a second?
But that will make him a CEO,
Sir Charles blusters. What's the problem? He'll control one company, Wentworth responds. Many of you have only risen to your posts in the last month. Who are you to question the Pope? Wentworth doesn't look at BC, but rather at each of the other CEOs seated around the table.
I think if he'd looked at me, we might have both burst out laughing.
Me, the Pope. Well, I could soon be a CEO, too. Now, if I can just get the project to get back in touch with me. I'd like to head out to the project's asteroid base again. Get those guys tied in with these bozos, scientists. The board explodes in conversation. No murmurs now. BC can hear bits and pieces of their conversations.
Who is this Cambrian to make demands?
Why should we work with him? Is he really Pope?
What do we know about this project?
The Transbase project?
Killer?
Still going? No way. That was dead years ago.
The debate rages on.
Come on. If they do make me CEO of the project, I should be able to protect the project. Better than I could protect those poor deluded fools back on Fortune Station.
BC scans the group debating behind the glass. He and Wentworth catch eyes. BC can hear Wentworth in his mind, clear as a bell.
What are you up to, Snake?
Whoa, that was freaky. Oh no, not again.
BC feels a sharp pain on both sides of his forehead. The pain spreads across his forehead in a flash, meeting in the middle behind his eyes in an onrush of pain.
Not again, not another headache, not now.
BC's head starts pounding. The headache comes on like a freight train chugging through his brain. He closes his eyes and rubs his temples. He hears Wentworth out loud this time, but off in the distance.
Cambrian, are you all right? A headache?
Yeah, BC says. He opens his eyes and then winces. Sorry.
No, it's okay, Wentworth tells him. How about you retire to one of my dens? I have several in this building. One is just outside of this hall, as a matter of fact. You can lie down for now in there. Let that pass,
Wentworth offers. He indicates a door in the back wall behind BC. Wentworth turns to the other CEOs.
The Pope here suffers from some rather severe migraines. Why don't we let him rest for a bit while we continue our discussion?
There are murmurs of agreement. BC is having trouble focusing his eyes, trouble hearing over the pounding in his head.
As if every beat's a chorus of shouting voices.
Thank you, BC says. He gets up a little unsteadily and makes his way slowly to the opening door at the back.
Bet it's still isolated from the rest of them.
BC makes it through the door, but only just barely. He hears the door close behind him as he falls to his knees.
Damn, stop shouting!
The beats continue, as if some tormentor is sitting at the volume control for a recording of thousands of voices speaking at once, turning it up for a second, and then back down. Up again, then down. Over and over in time with the beating of BC's heart, the pounding of blood in his temples. BC falls forward to the floor, twisting and writhing in pain.
Stop it! Stop!
And suddenly, the headache is gone.
The pounding? Gone?
He pushes himself up onto his elbows. BC looks around as his vision clears. Ancient books line the walls. The small compartment has no windows, feels close, and smells musty from the old texts. A large oaken desk looms up in front of BC.
Lucky I didn't hit my head on that, going down like I did.
BC uses the desk as a prop to pull himself back up onto his feet. A white salon couch sits, inviting, to the left of the desk. BC lurches over to it and plops down.
The pounding begins again with a vengeance.
No!
BC blacks out. He awakes to one of the priests and his entourage hovering over him. The aide is mopping his forehead with a cold compress. Wentworth's face looms overhead on a video screen that is lowered from the ceiling.
You're awake,
Wentworth says to BC. Yeah, BC nods, sits up. His head has cleared. The headache seems to be gone.
Good. Evidently no lingering effects.
Well, you'll be glad to hear this news. Looks like you're getting your way,
Wentworth tells him from the overhead screen.
You're the new CEO of the Transspace Project.
They actually went for it?
BC asks Wentworth's grinning video image.
They did. The paperwork is already in the works. Did you know they still had Van Kilner listed as CEO? He must be long dead by now. Shame how things get out of date like that.
He's not dead. Not yet, BC says.
He'd have to be fucking ancient by now,
Wentworth protests. He is, BC says. He grunts as he tries to get up off the couch. I met him just before I became the Pope, BC tells Wentworth.
Well, that could complicate matters,
Wentworth tells BC.
I had to have him declared deceased in order to process your paperwork.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind, BC says.
Yeah, right, the old guy'll be pissed.
Right,
Wentworth says, sarcasm evident in his voice, echoing BC's thoughts.
Sir?
The priest standing by with the cold compress tries to get BC's attention. Yes, BC acknowledges him. Hold that thought, Wentworth, okay?
Sure,
he answers huffily.
There's a priority message from the Vatican, sir,
the priest informs BC.
It's been waiting for you. A Dr. Capituna from the project is there to see you. The Vatican has been trying to contact you for the last 3 hours. Anita? Finally. Good. She went to the Vatican? Glad she's persistent.
Can I talk to her here? BC asks. I have a comm unit with me, the priest tells him. Fine, BC says. Set it up and put her through, please. The priest breaks out an old covert communications unit, a CCU from the OPO, and makes the connection.
Huh. Talking to Anita on the same kind of CCU she recorded me using back on the moon. Was that only 2 years ago? Huh. Suppose it's kind of ironic.
Anita appears on the screen. Her eyes look red, a little swollen.
BC! So you're Pope now? She says, and then sniffles.
Looks like. I've got another title to tell you about, maybe, too. But enough small talk. What brings you to Vatican City? Anita sobs, sucks back another, and wipes away a tear.
Then Kiltner's dead. I think they did it, BC.
They? BC asks, and then figures it out. Oh, them.
The Eldred. Has to be. She just doesn't want to say it.
You know, she hints, getting frustrated by BC's lack of understanding. I do, BC tells her, trying to calm her down with his tone of voice. I'll meet you back at the Vatican soon, as soon as I wrap things up here in Manhattan, he tells Anita.
Thanks, BC,
Anita says. Her image blinks out.
Well, that solves that problem now, doesn't it?
Wentworth says from the screen.
Jeesh! BC gasps in surprise and revulsion. You're cold, man, BC says to Wentworth.
It's just business, Campion. Don't get all soft on me now that you're a pope. You're far from being a holy man, Wentworth says. You're a CEO now. You're on the UTZ Council. Try acting like a businessman for a change.
I've met aliens I have more in common with than I do you, BC says to Wentworth.
Oh, Wentworth says, feigning offense.
Then he stops himself.
Wait a minute, you've met these aliens? Wentworth grows darker. What aren't you telling us, Campion?
So much for overstatement.
I'm telling you the sickness is extraterrestrial in origin, BC says. But I haven't actually met any aliens, not yet. It was just an expression. They can't be any colder than you, though.
You've insulted me to the core. Oh, my poor soul, Wentworth mock protests.
I'm heading back to Rome, BC tells him.
Good. Stay in touch. Let's get those geniuses of yours working with our brains as soon as possible, eh?
First smart thing I've heard you say, BC says to Wentworth. Pack up and get us out of here, BC says to his aide.
Anita thinks the Eldred killed Van Kiltner? Why? Why would they kill him? Why would they want him dead? It never gets any easier, does it? And who am I asking, anyway?
That was Chapter 16 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, now BC is CEO of the Transpace Project. How about that? And Von Kiltner is dead. Maybe killed by the Eldred, if Anita is right. We'll head back to Vatican City with BC in Chapter 17, Part 1, on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder of the book news I was mentioning. We're giving away The Adventures of Alibi Jones, Number 3. Which features the done-in-one story, as they call it, all under one cover. It's not going to be to be continued or anything. Alibi Jones' Christmas Present features art by Casey Bouchard, who does the art for Alibi Jones' Present, and it features Christian Navarro and Juan Carlos Quatordio doing the art in the past when Alibi travels back in time and meets his father, B.C. It's Alibi Jones' Christmas Present in The Adventures of Alibi Jones, Number 3, a free PDF comic book giveaway throughout this month of December. It's for a limited time, and there are a limited number. So if you want a copy, be sure you follow the link that's in the show notes. And if you're looking for gift ideas, be sure to think about giving the gift of independent science fiction and nonfiction, or a calendar, perhaps. Find out more about my Ancient Stone Mysteries of New England 2024 calendar at ancientstonemysteries.com. And head to mikeluoma.com and glowinthedarkradio.com for links to all my books. And finally, a big thank you to all my patrons who help keep me going and help keep this podcast going. Thank you. That is all for this week. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.